Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Recording.
Let's go for it.
Have you done one of your special intros?
No. No. Well, I can if you want me to.
But you can freestyle it, can you? It's not a rap battle.
That's it. It's all over. How's that?
They think it's all over. It is now.
After three tests, it is now. Ah, Dave. Welcome, everyone, firstly.
Well, actually, welcome to everyone, and welcome to Chris Chesney, who called me this morning and said that he's been listening to our pods. And I won't say exact words, but I don't know if it's because we're good at it or because he knows us, but he said he's been laughing his little socks off
His
car as he drives to work.
Oh, I had a text message from Chris Sadler, works for Enterprise Cars, been there for years, can't get rid of him. And he's in too deep. And he was texting me today saying, when's the pod out?
He knows too much.
Yeah.
But exactly. The thing is, what we're doing now is we're retweeting praise, which is ghastly, actually. And we mustn't do that, except Chez is a special one because he doesn't say nice things to people that often. Personal bodyguard now.
What does he do? Oh, I was going to say, does he listen to it when he's raiding people's houses? Because he's a bailiff.
Yeah, taking their TVs away. Mm. That's the only thing we got.
Ruining their lives.
We're not worried about that. No, he's... We had a very funny phone conversation this morning about the pod. He was driving, he was down in the south of France and he stuck it on in the car.
He's still allowed to drive, is he?
Yeah, mad, isn't it? Well, no, you're under one of his different names.
Okay.
Hello, Chezza. But yes, good intro, very good. I spoke to my dad this morning, Tommy, for the first time in a long time and had a full match debrief from the Lions' third test, which I have not done since I was a player.
He was giving you the debrief or you were giving him the debrief?
He told me what he thought and everything he said, he started with, look, I know, he said, I'm the day before yesterday's man. I know that, but this is what it means to me.
Was he like, I know I've been out of the game a long time, but...
Some things don't change.
You're still allowed to pass backwards.
Yes, some things don't change. You need the passion. You need the grit.
Was your dad Ross Kemp?
Yes.
Yeah,
I thought so. Yeah. My grand flatman on gangs. It was quite good fun, actually. So he just said, look, this is what I think. Tell me if you think I'm wrong, basically. And loads of stuff he said was just like, it can't be wrong because it's just an opinion.
Got no fans.
Got no
ground.
But he echoed what a lot of, he loves Jiffy, you know, and everything Jiffy writes, my dad reads. And I love Jiffy as well. And he's like, the thing with Jiffy is calls him Jonathan Davis. He calls him, he says, you know, he's not afraid to say exactly what he thinks. He's quite punchy and he just doesn't overcomplicate things, which I think the punters like, but they are.
Yeah, there's a few like that, though, isn't there? Brian Moore doesn't mince his words.
Yep.
Stephen Jones from The Times.
Yeah.
There's no messing around with him.
Is there a rugby journalist in, and I don't say this as like lol, you know, as in laugh out loud, not Lawrence Dallaglio, that gets more hate than Stephen Jones? I mean, I know he's quite punchy and he puts it out there, but people are so horrible to him. It's just like, what? If you don't agree with something he said, someone says, I don't know why you have to be abusive, but it's 2021.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like his stuff anyway. So
I love it. I don't agree with everything he says.
I love
Definitely
his,
not.
I love some of his tweets, mind. They're very good. But anyway, first off, another win for me on Settle It. You haven't won yet.
I know. I am. That is why Settle It is good for me, genuinely, because that you there's no chasing. It's small money. Well, depending on what you bet. For us, it was small money, and there's no chasing, and it's very, very simple, easy to understand. Easy to understand when you're going wrong, which for me is betting at all.
And I can always give it you back as well, can't I, if you're really struggling?
Yeah.
Yeah. I might go to Vegas. It's about that good a run at the moment.
Yeah, up overall. Overall, I'm about even. Yeah. Overall, I'm even.
So, well done, me. Also, won a little bit off Andy Goud and Jim Hamilton, which I will not be paying back.
No, God, no. I mean, would they pay it back to you? No.
No, exactly. So, that was good. What have you cooked before we get into the game? What have you cooked? Anything?
Can I tell you how I watched the game?
Hold on, this is exactly like the locker room I did at the weekend. John Bentley on stage. John, what do you think of the game? He's like, well, first off, I'd like to say, thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to the caterers. Thank you to the staff. So, John, that's my job, mate. I'm not doing it because it's not charity dinner. In the end, I said, John, what have you got to say? What do you want to say?
Yeah. So,
well, thanks very much, Shanks.
It's like you've asked me a question. I'm a politician, but I just made me think because we were thinking about because we'll mention the grub we're cooking this afternoon and then tonight. But that's sort of part of our pod. But yes, for the game, logistics transpired to give me a few hours completely on my own for the game. So I watched it on my laptop because I haven't got Sky at my house.
Oh, Sky can't you use?
I watched on my laptop with your login. Password, yeah.
You shot Phil.
Yeah.
Password.
Yeah. Ace 99 or something.
Liz Hobo.
So I watched that and watched it on the sofa with a fork and six chicken thighs. Piri-piri, like chicken pieces. There's actually a couple of wings in there from Field and Flower. And I just ate piri-piri chicken and watched it on my own. And every now and again, wiped my hands on my T-shirt, an old gym T-shirt used.
Sauce everywhere.
So that I could tweet stuff.
All around your face.
That's great.
I've ordered some new chicken wings, actually, from Field and Flower. They've got a new spice. It's on the black label. So if you're like a recognised customer, there's a black label with they've got a few different things. They've got tomahawks.
Like the emerald section and that.
Yeah, but there's like a new spicy chicken wings, which I'm really looking forward to.
Okay.
I've got a tomahawk out, which I'm going to cook tonight.
Yeah.
We're doing an Insta Live today where you've got some chicken thighs.
Yeah.
Salted and herbed.
Yeah, lemon and herb.
That's the one.
I don't know where they got lemon and herb from, and chicken. But that means that we'll just stick those in a couple of pitters with a bit of tzatziki, a bit of yogurt. Kids will love that.
Kids will love it. I'll love it.
Yeah. So, and tonight I've got me mate, you know Baz, with two Zs.
Yep.
Such a shame because good bloke, and you wouldn't believe it, and you mustn't judge books by their covers, but he looks a bit odd, but he spells his name, his name's Sebastian, but everyone calls him Baz, but he spells it with two Zs.
Yeah.
Despite that, he's actually a really bright bloke. I've never got it. Mm. Really odd decision to have done that.
It's like when you're a Carl, but you spell it with a K.
Yeah.
Never trust them.
Or Chris Chesney with a K.
Yeah.
We can't, not having it. Yeah. Not having it. So he's coming over tonight.
Matthew with one T. Don't get that.
No. No. And we're having...
Matt with one T.
One of the... we're having one of the rolled... herb stuffed rolled chickens, basically. I'm going to put on the rotisserie.
Double chicken tonight.
I love chicken. It's my favourite thing to grill. And doing two racks of ribs from Field and Flower as well. Why not?
Cola ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Got them.
Are they really good?
Ooh. I've got a few days until they go off. They're in the fridge in the garage, so...
Well done, boy. Good reminder.
Yeah.
And last night, got back from a weekend, a day away, and my lovely girlfriend said, would you like one of these cold beers in the fridge with your dinner? And I said, no, I won't, because I'm going to have bloody three of them or two of them tomorrow. I'll have two.
I had a couple yesterday, because the last 3 weeks, every Sunday has been quite tough because of the locker room, because, you know, you're hosting it. You got a drink with the guests. Lewis Rees-Zammit's dad was there.
Was he?
Yep. Yeah. He used to
What's
play.
He like?
Tanned.
Yeah.
Looks young. He's probably like 50 odd. Looks like 30.
Is he?
Well done.
Oh, I hate that.
He used to play American football.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But
the thing with American football is you
the
can
apple
play
didn't
it.
Far, the apple didn't fall far from the tree.
Oh, really?
Is that right?
Yeah. That's right.
I hope so.
The thing about American football is it's a bit like now. I don't want to do that thing where Like Olympic, I absolutely love the Olympics. Love it. Watched it every day, every highlights package.
What was the? What do you enjoy most about it?
Well, obviously the wrestling and the weightlifting, but women's 100 I really liked. Women's 200 I liked. But I didn't know that many people in the men's. But enjoyed that. The middle distance stuff I like.
I really enjoyed the cycling. I always do. But you know, Laura Kenny and Jason Kenny.
I love them.
Brilliant. And Laura Kenny with. I've forgotten the name.
Katie Archibald.
Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't it?
Oh, amazing.
First time it's been in the Olympics, that event.
So dominant.
Yeah, I know.
And Jason Kenny's so dominant.
He's got to be knighted.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
And we've got to be OBE'd.
We can't be far off. But I've loved all the Olympics, but there are some sports where this is just, hopefully this is just fact, where it's like, you guys are amazing at that sport, but you're not competing against that many people. Do you know what I mean? It's like modern pentathlon, absolutely brutal, but it's not like trying to get in the England football team or the Wales football team, because that's an extreme example. But I think if I was going to pick an Olympic sport, I'd pick one that not many people do. So, so maybe I could get to Olympic level.
Yeah, I'd probably
there isn't one.
I'd probably go shooting or archery. I reckon I've got a steady hand. I fired a few weapons in my time. Knocked a few of them out as well.
What I do think is, when the modern pentathletes come, is that they come running in and they're flat out and they've got to stop and shoot. It's weird as you like, really eccentric, but wicked. And you think, actually, that would be rock hard, that.
Yeah, sweating, shaky arm.
Rock hard, yeah.
Do you know, like, tug of war used to be in the Olympics, rope climbing used to be in the Olympics, standing, high jump.
Sergeant jump.
All these things, yeah.
England squad, 1998, 1999, 2000. I was young and I was with the 21s in the corner and the England squad were doing their testing and we followed them into testing. So we literally got, I was like 19 or something, or 20, and we followed them into, so we saw their numbers when we were doing the testing. So you compete against sprint times and bench and all that. And do you know who won the sergeant jump? Best sergeant jump in the England team. And no, none of our lads got anywhere near it. I've told you before.
No, you haven't. Steve Ojomu. Was it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think you have.
I must have done. It wouldn't be in there.
But he was super powerful.
I've told you this before. He's got the triple jump record at school.
You might have said
and
that.
And he went to the same school as Sir Jonathan Edwards, the world record holder.
He took a while to get that record, mind. Like, he went to quite a few different Olympics. And I think the first one he finished like 10th, 15th, whatever, really low down. But then, Four years later, all of a sudden he's over 18 metres.
I always liked Phillips Odowu because I saw him.
Yeah, headband and socks.
We used the same physio and he just looked wicked and he smelled amazing. Like, his aftershave was amazing. And I was about to say, mate, what aftershave's that? And I thought, don't do it. Don't be that guy.
When are we going down to Devon? My kids are asking. So we can go on the beach.
Yeah, well.
Get all the red paddle gear out. Utilise it. Feel warm on the beach, because that's one of the issues why I don't like the beach, because I'm always cold. It's always sand everywhere. I'm always in like jeans and a t-shirt.
Get your pro jackets on.
Yeah, I want to get one of them over. Just be able to have like a little kip on the beach. Love that.
It's the sun's out here now, but it's been raining this morning in Bath and it's due to rain quite a lot and be quite cold this afternoon. And there's a little fun fair at the park across down the road.
All right, yeah.
So we're going there and they've asked if they can wear their little red paddle coats down there to keep warm, so we're going to look the best at the
fun fair. Why don't you go along behind them, like with a ghetto blast on your shoulder, playing Eye of the Tiger, something like that? Like they're coming into a ring. Get them shadow boxing like Tom Evans on the beach.
Oh, I'll tell you what I did like. I liked, now on the spot, I forgot the name. Was it Jasmine? The Welsh girl who won the boxing gold.
Yes.
Played football for Wales, kickboxing world champion. Now, what a mover. Goodness me, how would you beat her in a fight? You'd need a trank dart,
probably sweep the leg first.
Yeah. She's brutal, mate, absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I know. Like, you just gotta get close like Steven Seagal, because Seagal is only good when he's right up close to you.
Yeah,
like from a distance, no way. Jean-Claude Van Damme,
yeah, got the reach,
all his moves, everything. But when you get close to Steven Seagal, and all he needs is like a towel or something. If you've got a knife, he needs a towel, he needs just something to protect him a little bit, and then those arms come out and they're rapid.
Have you seen the videos that pop around on Instagram every now and again of Jean-Claude Van Damme like in a car park showing people his high kicks and all that sort of stuff?
What, like recent ones?
Yeah.
It's no.
Like, there's a couple of guys having beers in a car park and they're like, hey, Jean-Claude. And he's like, hey, I can show you. And he's like standing in a pair of jeans and he'll just stand there you know, he's 18 inches from your nose to nose, and he'll just put his foot on top of your head. You're like, whoa.
They're like the pair of jeans you see advertised online on like social media where
people Olympus.
Doing, yeah, people doing backflips in them.
Weightlifters, yeah. Weightlifters. I actually got some because I'm an odd shape. And they fit really nice, but they're too tight. I can't wear them. I look like a right mug.
You can if they're black, because you get away with that.
Paul Doran Jones could do it. I can do it.
If they're like Rob Howley stonewashed denim, then you can't.
Wasn't Stephen Jones always a
Gareth Thomas, Stephen Jones, Rob Howley, still love stonewashed denim.
Some people could wear it in Legace.
And a pair of brown loafers.
Yep.
And they've got to be flared at the bottom as well.
And you've got to be able to not see most of the shoe.
Massive brown, like Ted Baker belt. Like
Aladdin.
Yeah. Anyway, right. Rugby time.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So you debrief with your dad. Hit me with it.
I, as you know, Tommy, I'm going to say two things. I don't want to just say what everyone else says to jump on the bandwagon because it's dull. And this job would be too dull if we just did that. However, so I will say I actually really enjoyed the series, but I think a lot of people found it gripping because of what was at stake and because two of the games were close.
Yeah.
But I think my dad summed it up this morning when he said I was bored stiff and I kept it on because there was nothing else going on, and you know, mum didn't want to watch anything else, but I was bored stiff. And he said, I think about watching Harlequins the end of the season.
Yeah.
And he's like, my dad doesn't watch a huge amount of rugby, watches a bit. He's got BT Sport. And now and again, I'll say to him, mate, make sure you watch this game. It should be a good one and he'll watch it.
Yeah.
And he said, the Quins semi and final, he's like, that honestly was the best. He said, I remember it being as good as any rugby I've ever watched. And he said, I watched this, the international game, and it bored stiff. And he said, if there was a fourth test, I wouldn't watch it.
The problem was, as well, was New Zealand Australia was in the morning as well, and that was a brilliant game. Massively has an impact with no fans. That 100% does. I think if you've got fans in the stadium, I think your performances have risen. It's not so pragmatic, it's not so boring, I don't think. I think they make a huge factor. I actually preferred the third test to the second test. I'm with your dad on the second test. You know, I was gone. You know, I'd switched off. But because this was all or nothing, winner takes all, you know, and that the magnitude and how big the game was, it was Lions series finale, exactly what everyone really wanted. I was in. It also made a big difference for me when Finn Russell came on, just because he sees space that possibly other 10s don't. He sped the game up. He's exciting to watch. Lions played a little bit differently with him at 10 as well, because he creates a lot of space. He really attacks the line. It wasn't a brilliant game, and it's difficult to compare it to Exeter Quins, you know, because you've just got two teams out there that play the game completely different, have a different philosophy on how they want to play the game. You know, they want to score more than the opposition, whilst I think the Lions' mindset probably going into it was,
don't lose.
Do whatever it takes to win. You know, it doesn't matter how they play, because people will only remember the results. So, yeah, I get Graham on the fact that it wasn't a spectacle, but I don't know, like, cup finals aren't always a spectacle because there's so much pressure on it. But, oh God, mate, they were in it. They were in it right till the end. Mornier Steyn, 12 years ago, did the same. A couple of instances in the game as well. I don't think it was a penalty for Finn Russell's high tackle on Colby. He's on one knee when he's coming down. You know, I think they were quite unlucky to get away with that. You think about Liam Williams putting away Josh Adams. Should have done.
All I think when I see that is poor
and
bloke.
But he's not a selfish player. You know, he's not one of these that tucks all the time. Some players are. You know, he puts people in space all the time, but he's just missed that one. And then you've got the Maul going forward. Tom Curry takes one of the SA players out as well. It's a penalty, you know, and they're led off. That's nearly 14 points. That's enough to win it. And you just got to take those try-scoring opportunities when they come. So, absolutely devastated they lost it. But, you know, they so easily could have won it.
Yeah, and I think the Liam Williams thing to Josh Adams down the right was just, yeah, you're right. I mean, that changes the game. But all I think then is, oh, you poor bloke, because he's just such a good player.
Yeah.
And you could argue he should have played 80 minutes in all, or 120 minutes in all three tests. Could I easily argue that, and it's just a brutal moment for him, and he'll know that better than anyone. But the Tom Curry thing is just, that is someone getting overexcited and just forgetting himself for a second. Now, quite often you get away with those, and actually that is a brilliant piece of refereeing to pick that up, because if South Africa had won the series with a try created from that and hadn't been picked up, the Lions fans would have gone mad. So that's actually a great piece of refereeing. But I think that the most significant part of the series for the Lions was the introduction of Finn Russell. Now, he had effectively the whole game. I mean, 70 minutes to win the game, and it very nearly happened. I mean, ultimately, you could say he did enough. He did create enough, because that Josh Adams try might have won it, whatever. But what it showed was that I thought that, and bear in mind, this is not being smug with hindsight. Going into the tour, I'm saying 100%, if I'm head coach, I pick Dan Bigger, 100%.
Yeah.
However, I look at it and think, if Finn Russell had played, I know he wasn't fit, but if there is a different way to face outright power, there is a different way. Yeah. And what I would say is, if you've got, you know, Dan Bigger in the second test, putting high kicks up 30 yards from his own line, I mean, the All Blacks are not doing that. Australia probably won't do that. They're too clever. The great teams are not doing that. And I think that as soon as Finn Russell came on and they put some phases together, South Africa looked not all over the place, but terrified.
And I still think, I stand by this point, and I've sort of said it all the way through, Farrell should be playing 12. Like, why bring him on in the second test at 10 for Dan Bigger? That's not going to affect the game. That's not going to change it. There's no real point of difference there. If you bring Farrell on at 12, you can open up defences a lot more. Look, Bundiaki and Henshaw both played well, but they're not creators. They're more strike runners, you know. So they'll hit lines. They'll set up first phase or second phase, maybe to attack and try and penetrate third or fourth phase. But when you've got another ball player in there, you can get the ball wider. You can hold defences, because as a second receiver, you've got to be able to keep your hips straight. You've got to be able to manipulate defenders, and not everyone can do that. Tens can do it, because that's what they do on the field every single game. But when you've got a 12 that can do it as well, it just creates so much more space. I think that was a trick missed. I'm not too disappointed, I think, with it with up front. I think the pack performed pretty well. I think they scrummaged pretty well. I feel really sorry for Courtney Laws getting on the wrong side of the ball. Last penalty, Mornier Steyn. I mean, a lot of those penalties come from tackle technique, where you go high, player lands on you, you can't roll away, but he goes low. It's just one of those penalties that are just given now. You know, and there's nothing you can do about it, really, as a player. He's moving away as fast as he can, but it's just a luck of the draw sometimes as to how you fall and how a player falls, because you can't control that. But then, also, interesting on your take, the last scrum penalty. You know, it just seems such a negative way to end a test series when it's close. The lives are still in it. It's one score difference.
Yeah, but...
Was it a penalty?
Clear penalty, yeah.
Okay. That's fine. And shut me up then.
Vincent Cook, you know, when
what'd you call him?
What'd you call me? Everyone, like when they got... Sarri's got relegated, you know, there was video going around and the Sarri scrum with Vincent Cook at tight head getting Muller down at, was it Cornish Pirates or they, whatever it was in the champ, and it's like they've lost it. It's like, no, they just, sometimes they don't go your way and you need to get back in the groove.
Yeah.
Vincent Cook, when he's playing top class rugby, is a killer of loose heads. He is a killer. Now, he's not a huge guy. He doesn't have a technique completely different from anyone else. He's got a lot of power. He's very, very strong through the middle, which means that, boringly, his back stays rod straight, yeah. Which means that all the power coming from his second row and from his hooker and from his flanker and indirectly from the number eight, he can put all of it through. So he gets every ounce of it through his spine because he's so strong through the middle. So he's a loose head killer is what he is.
Mm.
And I had... It's not really a disagreement. It was a disagreement, but it was a really nice one with... Nigel Owens on Twitter,
or
he replied to something, but it was all...
It was aggressive, I thought.
It definitely wasn't. But watching the game, so Wynne Jones was doing an exceptional job against France Malherbe to the point where he was becoming dominant.
Yeah.
He then began... Malherbe didn't... He changed his technique a bit, and I won't bore you with it too much, but instead of being aggressive, he basically got into a lock position and said, you're not moving me and it's going to take all your strength.
Yeah.
Push me as hard as you want and exhaust yourself. You won't move me. And that is effectively what happened a couple of times. Very draining for Wynne Jones. But there's a huge amount of pressure against France Malherbe. So if you're going to attack him, then your body, if you imagine the base of your spine, if you just hit and hold, there's a load of pressure, but it's static.
Yeah.
If you're trying to move, you're as loose head, you're not as stable as you are at tight head because you're not in between anyone. You're hanging out on the left. So you use your core a hell of a lot to stabilize yourself, and if your lower back goes,
yeah.
I've been there, it is frigging agony and you can't get rid of it. So it's like having permanent cramp in your calf. You can't get rid of it. And he came out the second half and I thought, how has he come out? So as soon as his back started to go, Malherbe didn't quit. He kept going at him and going at him. So for me, it cost the Lions hugely because he was doing brilliantly. Yeah. But the disagreement we had was, and bear in mind, half of us pros will disagree, so it's fine. But there's so much emphasis put on, I hope this isn't too niche, put on the loose head's bind to the tight head. So the tight head has to bind over the top. If I'm a loose head, he has to have a long bind. He's not allowed to then go from a long bind almost over on my back. He's not allowed, as soon as we engage, he's not allowed to then slip back and take a short bind on my arm. He has to keep his arm long. Often quite well refereed, often missed, and tight heads don't do it deliberately. They often just under so much pressure.
Yeah.
If you're under pressure, you don't want your arm sticking out above your head. You want it next to you to be tighter. So, but the loose head just binds on the side of the tight head shirt.
Yep.
So imagine you're a loose head, you're Wynne Jones, and you're against France Malherbe, who's whatever, 145 kegs, massive units everywhere. And the scrum goes down and the referee says to you, loose head pulling it down. I'm telling you now, you cannot pull, a loose head cannot pull a scrum down with a bind on the side of a shirt. It does not happen. It cannot happen. It can look like it's his bind because he's gripping tight,
yeah,
and he's heading towards the floor because one of them is hinging or someone's collapsed. The loose head's arm is by definition underneath the tight head's arm. It has to be by law or just physics, but both. So his elbow will always, almost always hit the ground first in a straight collapse. To blame it on the bind is erroneous. It doesn't. It's not a factor. So I tweeted that and then someone else said, oh, check out this guy. He's tweeted it. Corbusiero agreed, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The loose head, if I'm binding underneath a tight head and gripping his collar and choking him with it, or if I fold underneath and my arm slips, I've slipped my bind or I'm cheap. If my bind is where it's meant to be, where Wynne Jones was, that, just forget it. That is not a bind that can, think of the weight coming through.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you've got a car that's broken down and it's rolling downhill towards you and you've got to put your right shoulder against the back bumper of the car to stop it.
Easy.
And you reach round with your left arm,
yeah,
and you grab the handle or something to hang on to the handle of the back door.
How much
of the weight is coming through that hand? Bugger all, mate.
I pushed it back up.
Yeah. Anyway, I think way too much significance is placed on the loose head's bind. This is too niche now. And really, it's verging on irrelevant.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Nigel disagreed, which is absolutely fair enough, and he's been around a long time. But
He's out of the game now, mate.
No, he's not.
He's losing touch, mate. He's all about cows, farming. Hey, calling me Tom Shumplin.
He's great.
Yeah. He's great. Some real good performances, though. If you look through the tour, Maratoji, I think, won series player for the Lions. Brilliant all the way through. Alwyn Jones interview after. It's not often you get him really emotional.
No. Sara did well.
Sara's speech, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Like, just the way her questions, the tone, the lot. You know, just keeps asking, didn't force him to answer questions. She knew he was struggling.
She's class, man.
Unbelievable to get Alwyn back out there. 12 consecutive Lions tests, mate. One of the biggest Lions legends there'll be for a long time, I think.
He's number one, like, modern, a professional Lions legend. He's got to be.
I think Robbie Henshaw was really good all the way through the tour as well. Work rate, unbelievable. Said it all the way through Six Nations. He's so fit, offs himself, tackles hard, runs hard. But I just think with him in the centre, I just think you need a little bit of creativity around him, possibly. I thought the pack played really well.
They did, and three loose heads in 3 weeks doesn't help. Wynn Jones not being fit doesn't help.
No.
This is proper smug what I'm about to say, but I did say it beforehand. It's not I told you so, it's just what I think. You start Marler in those three tests, there isn't a scrum issue in any of the games. There is not one scrum issue across any minute of any game. In fact, I'd have put 50 quid on him not conceding one penalty legitimately across three games.
Did you see ball in time? Something like 26 minutes. Like, seems to be
we could have
backward.
Played in that ball.
Yeah. We used to look at like 38 minutes, like, you know, 10 years ago. We're trying to get the ball in for 30 minutes, especially against a team like Italy, for instance, that love set piece, love scrummaging, love mauling. You know, so you try and keep the pace up and try and move them around, for especially with big packs. But 26 minutes, that is low, really low. And I suppose tactically as well, South Africa got it right from their perspective, slowing it down. Razzie Erasmus, you know, that rant after the first test, he was either going to be a genius or people were going to call him mad. Seemed to have worked, didn't it? You know, second test.
He'll get into trouble now, but
decisions
so
went for him, yeah. So, as much as there is disappointment out there, I think South Africa have done a wonderful job of hosting the Lions Tour with no fans. You know, there's been COVID cases in both camps. They've overcome that. They've had to move the tests all the way to Cape Town. So just to be able to move and to adapt on the spot, you know, no one thought we'd get the... everyone thought there'd probably be cases, there'd be games cancelled, but there wasn't. So, you know, fair play to South Africa, to the Rugby Union and to the Lions for actually being able to produce.
And when you think South Africa, test series. In a wider sense, there's COVID, there's political, economical, societal meltdown. How they've managed to get these games gone is... it's verging on miraculous. Not sure they've done it. And it was a compromised tour because no fans, and the tests were gripping ultimately, or a couple of them were, but not enough tries scored. But for me, what I take from it, a couple of bits I take from it were that Finn Russell is not a maverick. Finn Russell plays to a plan very well, but when holes present themselves, he is world-class.
Performs under pressure on the biggest occasion. His kicking was outstanding.
Bloody
his
great.
Decision-making was brilliant. Yep. You know, gone are the days where you could... I don't think he is a maverick anymore. A maverick sort of suggests that...
it's a liability. You
know, he's a liability. He's going to be brilliant. And then all of a sudden, then he's going to put the brakes on, let it fly right by, and then, you know, Goose gets ejected and dies.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, he's... I think he's... produced a performance over this Lions tour that he's just a great attacker, like Marcus Smith now. You know, Marcus Smith isn't a liability at all, just makes right decisions at the right time, but he's exciting and he's attacking, he speeds the game up. I think Finn is moved to another level now.
Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah. It was great. And also, Lukanya Arm, the South African centre. I mean, I was going to ask you about him because I watch him and I think there's mistakes, but I watch him and I think, God, he knows his onions. That he's class player.
Yeah, he is. And I think the tone was set from that first hit on Elliot Daly. You know, the Lions actually went to go wide and Elliot Daly was hammered. And I think that sort of spooked them.
I wonder if it shaked the tour a little bit.
I think it has a bit. I think if there's a defining moment out of all the tests, I think that hit is it, because Lions went to go wide. They got absolutely hammered. And I think from there on in, they were just scared. Scared defensively of South Africa shutting them down, intercepts, of hitting them behind the gain line. But sometimes when you get spooked like that, it just forces you into a game plan that you don't necessarily want to play. I think looking back now at the tour, which is easy, lacked creativity in that back line. You know, and it just didn't function in that third test. You know, the Lions had a good line-out position. Tom Curry put the ball behind a forward. It went to the ground. Mako had to clear up. All of a sudden, Lions on the back foot. They box kick. That box kick then gets caught. Am plays it to Colby. Colby goes and scores a try.
You know, what a try, mind.
What a try, yeah, it is. And, you know, he's done it so many times. Did it against England in the World Cup. Another great example of just how quality he is, mate. He's a special player. But, yeah, I think that tackle Am produced on Daly is a turning point.
And also, you've got, you know, whatever we think of how South Africa play, they are brutal and straight up and down, and for want of a better word, boring. But when there is an opportunity, they've got magic. And Andre Pollard for Mapimpi's try in the second test is, that is one moment where Anthony Watson is drawn up into the defensive line. The kick is perfection. Everything is perfection. And it's like, well, actually, we're going to batter you. And then the uppercut's going to come when you finally get tired and let your guard down. And you think, in a sense, they know who they are and it's genius. They're the best team, and they're world champions, and now they're beating the Lions. They're the best team in the world. They must be. Must be the number one ranked team in the world.
I think Etzebeth is Wolverine as well.
Yeah.
Recovers so quick.
Yeah, amazing.
Like he's injured. I think he's gone. Yeah. I think he'd never play rugby again. All of a sudden he's back up.
Lazarus Etzebeth.
Yeah.
He moves about for a big fella.
Yeah, he does.
But do you know what? I know he's a hard man and all that, but these days, no such thing. Just nail people. Like, and the pushing and shoving, it's like with the grins, it's like that don't count anymore, fella.
Whoever's got the longest arms.
I'm sure he would have been great in the old days when it was really punchy, but once you've been in the middle against Toulouse away and it's not pushing and shoving, or France away, you're like, well, that don't count anymore.
30, 40 years ago, if you couldn't hold yourself in a fight, you couldn't play rugby, basically, could you? But anyway, that's it, Flats. That is the Lions series done. I think we have to thank, you know, some of our supporters, some of the partnerships that we've had through this to make it happen. So
thank you. Purity Beers has been brilliant.
Red Paddle, thank you very much. Field and Flower.
Yep. Kamado Joe.
Yep, and Settle It as well. You know, we appreciate all your help of putting this Lions podcast together. What's it called?
Roar.
I can smell, I put the Kamado Joe on before you arrived, put the charcoal in.
Sensible.
And
man.
I can smell it. The reason I can smell it, there's no food on it yet, is because my grates are so dirty from the last few barbecues that I think it's cooking like last month's food.
That's what you want, because that gives it the taste.
Of course it is.
And because it's hot anyway, it kills all the bacteria.
Yeah, exactly. So
do you want to just sort of lead us out then with Rudyard Kipling's poem, If?
No. Okay. Virginia Woolf said, if I'm not myself, then I'm nobody.
And you will be a man, my son.
Roar on, drive on. See you around.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.